Welcome to the Strang Report with Steve Strang on the Charisma Podcast Network. This episode was produced to discuss and address issues within our nation and around the world from a Christian worldview. Dr. Bill Hammond, the founder of Christian International Ministries, is considered to be the pioneering voice of the modern-day prophetic movement. In his 61 years of ministry, he has trained and equipped hundreds of thousands of saints and has personally prophesied to leaders of nations. He spent his life training people to hear the voice of God, and because of this, their world has changed. You can also change your world through Christian International Ministry, their products, and their events. You'll be equipped to hear God for yourself and others, your role on earth as a believer, your purpose and destiny. You'll receive a wealth of revelation and insight about hearing and receiving the voice of the Lord. For more information on Christian International Ministries, visit their website at christianinternational.com. Again, the website, christianinternational.com. And thank you, Dr. Bill Hammond, for sponsoring this podcast.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to this edition of the Strang Report. I am in San Diego, California, and I'm able to interview Michael Brown, who I see on some regularity, but we're at the same conference, and he has turned out to be one of our very best commentators on our Charisma News website. In fact, I was telling him today that the exponential growth we've had the last couple of years, I tie a lot into him and his writing. So thank you for being here with me. And why don't we talk about the responsibility of the church's role in culture?
Yeah, it's something we've got to address because on the one hand, we look around at the world and we see things. Every generation sees problems, things that are messed up. If we lived in the days of the Civil War, there'd be those issues, days of segregation, our day, abortion, redefining of marriage, different things. On the one hand, we feel the responsibility. We've got to do something. We're believers. We're followers of Jesus. We have an answer. On the other hand, it's so easy to just get overly political or to put such an emphasis on social issues that we forget to preach the gospel, make disciples, give ourselves to prayer. And then people just associate, the world just associates us with a particular political position, and we get caricatured. So that's the balance. How do we avoid the we're out of here any minute mentality where we just forget about the culture and let it go to hell in a handbasket? How do we avoid that extreme or the other extreme of just being so social and that we forget the gospel? So that to me is something I've been burdened about for many, many years. And the columns that I write and the great platform that you provided, it's an expression of how somehow we can be a prophetic witness, live as disciples in the midst of what's always been a corrupt world.
Well, of course, this isn't new, which you referred to. In cycles of history, the church has been activist, you know, where the church has even become the state, of course, in Europe many years ago. And then there's been times when the church is just totally withdrawn, whether it was a Roman Catholic church or the Protestant church. We can look at some of the things that happened after the Civil War that resulted in a lot of the educational institutions, you know, becoming liberal and then training an entire generation of professors and kind of the elites of society. We're seeing that now. But you know, we almost feel like we're at a critical point, and what can we do in our generation? What is that balance? And it's not just being a little bit spiritual and a little bit political and trying not to be too extreme. What do you think is the answer?
Yeah, I feel we have to be all in for Jesus and absolutely believe that the gospel impacts every area of life. So first and foremost, we give ourselves to prayer for awakening. We realize that without God's help, without God's intervention, we're sunk. Because we're in an unprecedented moral crisis for our nation where there's just been kind of a turning on a dime. It's almost like the whole nation drank the Kool-Aid about so many fundamental issues, and you just stand for biblical principles, and you're completely reviled. And in that respect, it's unique. But we give ourselves to prayer for awakening in the church and for the larger society. We renew our commitment to the Great Commission, right here in America as well, to preach to the lost, to make disciples, recognizing that the conversion of sinners and turning them into real saints, that's the key. And then we stand for righteousness in every area of society as part of our gospel witness. We don't put our primary trust in a Republican Party, but we realize politics is important, but that's a subset of the larger issue. Our greatest hope is in the extension of the kingdom of God. Not thinking we're going to make America this perfect Christian nation and take over and for everyone has to go to church on Sunday or they get 40 lashes. No one's thinking that. None of our people are thinking that. But we know that as disciples, We're supposed to make a difference. So when we see injustice, when we see human trafficking, when we see things happening that are wrong, we get involved. When we see the attack on the unborn in the womb, we get involved. When we see marriage getting redefined, we get involved. But as part of our larger witness, I feel if we're consistent in prayer and consistent in evangelism, then we won't swing out of balance with our social emphasis.
You know, I've been an observer of the Christian community for a long time, as you have. And I think that one of the biggest problems is apathy, where, you know, you have people who have basically served the Lord their whole life. They're committed Christians, but they only go to church a few times a month. And maybe their giving goes down and they become a little bit cynical. And I've seen this the last couple of decades. But the reason I bring it up, because I want to know your opinion, I'm personally starting to see a lot of that changing, where people are realizing that they can't be neutral in this. They can't just be nice little lukewarm, go to church when they feel like it kind of Christians. Are you seeing any shift like that yourself?
Yeah, I'm not seeing it in as large a scale as I want to see it. 20 years ago when the Brownsville Revival broke out, there was a lot more hunger for revival that I was seeing in churches. But people are waking up. It's been easy to be complacent here in America. I had a Christian author on my radio show recently. And he said in the Middle East, where he works extensively with Muslims, when these Muslims come to faith, they ask them right at the beginning, are you willing to suffer for Jesus? Are you willing to die for Jesus? And I said, when we baptize people in India, that's what my colleague, my Indian friend, asks them every year. Are you willing to die for Jesus when they get baptized? So this fellow said this would put a new wrinkle in our new members class. Oh, one last little detail. Are you willing to die for Jesus before you join our church? It's been so easy to be a Christian here. It's been so easy. We've had success in our churches, success in our ministry, so much freedom that unfortunately we've fallen asleep in the midst of it. And now that people are seeing young people in so many circles dropping out of church or just not getting interested, the arguments of the new atheists getting to younger and younger people so that now parents are being faced with questions they weren't faced with, watching the loss of our religious liberties, the real attack on that, watching the issues of redefining marriage, the attack on gender, people are starting to say, oh, something's wrong. It's a shame it took this, but they're starting to realize something is wrong and they're starting to wake up. And fundamentally, they're realizing following Jesus means more than this church stuff I've been doing, because that's not in the Bible. The Bible is going to make disciples, and people are starting to realize there's got to be more, and they don't have what it takes to withstand the tide. So I've been saying for some time that the bad news is the good news, and that finally people are realizing, okay, the storm's coming. We need those umbrellas.
What do you think is going to happen in the next couple of years in our country?
I think that things are going to get more extreme than we've ever seen, that there will be the most overt rebellion against God and his ways, that people like you and me will be more marginalized than we've ever been. And that will prove to be part of the undoing of the secular revolution, the gay revolution, the atheist revolution, the whatever it is, that it will overplay its hand in its getting more and more extreme, that Christians will start to wake up, that those that are really willing to pay a price to follow Jesus, and no one's beheading us right now, so our price is still relatively small, that will start to spark the awakening, and that because redefining marriage, attack on gender, attack on religious liberties, America won't last long like that. I believe there'll be a bouncing back. It's going to be costly, but I believe we'll see a real bouncing back, that there's going to be a lot of darkness, but out of that, the brighter light will shine.
And of course, as we've already said, this isn't the first dark time in American history. You know, the Civil War was a pretty dark period of time. Hitler, we tend to forget how bad Hitler really was. And really, can you imagine what the world would be like today if Hitler had won? You know, it would be entirely different. And there's a sense that we're kind of in the same period, like 1938, 1939. You know, we do hope and pray that the church wakes up. You know, like with the Second World War, we had to get attacked. A whole lot of bad things had to happen before America and the Allies rose to the very, very difficult challenge and responded. So I'm hearing you saying that you're seeing kind of a parallel of where things will get bad enough that maybe things will get good as a result.
Yeah, exactly. And again, you wish it didn't take this, but sometimes people make a dietary change when finally they have a heart attack. It's a shame it took that long, but that's when they make the change. Certainly, what Hitler did far outpaces what ISIS has done. You know, if we had social media and could report from the concentration camps, Civil War, we lost more Americans then than all of our other wars combined. So you're absolutely right. There have been very dark periods in world history before. The state of Israel, though, is only birthed out of the ashes of the Holocaust. Would that have happened otherwise, naturally speaking? Probably not. I'm not saying God caused it. I'm just saying that somehow he's a redeemer as well. So I think that with so much complacency in the church for so long and with so much outward success, that it's going to take the stark reality, in that sense, the heart attack, for people to make the radical change. But I also believe that, let's say, gay activism, which remains the principal threat to freedom of religion, speech, and conscience, it will overplay its hand. A movement that was found on being victims as they become more and more the bullies, it undermines what they're doing. Americans will start to recognize that Christians are now the ones that are being bullied and have become the victims. When you completely make marriage almost meaningless by redefining it and changing fundamental aspects of it, those with solid marriages and families are the ones that are going to rise up for the next generation. So I firmly believe, unless Jesus comes first, that we will see an awakening, that out of ashes and out of social insanity, let's remember the same media that a decade or two ago began to celebrate homosexuality on TV is celebrating polygamy, polyamory, even incestuous relationships. So how far is this going to go? How far does the sexual anarchy go before it's self-defeating and before people say, we need God. We need God's ways. So I've been telling people I feel like an umbrella salesman in the desert, but there's a big storm coming. So I'm convinced, and I hear it more and more. People say, now I understand why you've been talking about a cultural revolution. Now I understand more. If we can join that with a prayer for revival so the awakening begins with us, I've got great hope for the future. Rocky times, but great hope.
Well, thank you. I'll end on that note, and I'd just like to thank you in this setting for all that you do. You're one of the greatest spokesmen that we have, one of the greatest spokespersons that we have in the church today, and I just want to encourage you to keep standing strong, and you know, thank you for your brilliant mind and strong spirit and articulate way that you're able to put words to what needs to be done in a way that really nobody else can.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. I take the responsibility seriously. And thanks for the great platforms you have, the gifts God's given you to get the word out around the world. I appreciate the partnership.
Thank you.
Today's podcast is brought to you by Dr. Bill Hammond, founder of Christian International Ministries. Thank you, Dr. Hammond, for sponsoring this podcast. Thank you for listening to The Strang Report with Steve Strang. To read more from Steve, visit his blog, The Strang Report, on charismamag.com. Again, that's The Strang Report on charismamag.com.
This has been a production of the Charisma Podcast Network. Steve and Joyce Strang are the founders and owners of CPN. Dr. Steve Green is the executive producer of the Charisma Podcast Network. We intend to honor God with every podcast and remain thankful to our advertisers and supporters who make these podcasts possible.